Hello, my name is Amanda. At this point, I'm 24 weeks pregnant, and I'm addicted to crystal meth and heroin. I'm homeless. I'm doing whatever I have to do, including selling myself to get a motel every day.
Hello. Hello. I meet Amanda at Fresno's Needle Exchange. It's a 1960s-era pale yellow bus parked on a dead-end street. Volunteers set up tarps to shade the sidewalk next to it. For 2 hours every Saturday, people roll in, pulling up in cars or pushing shopping carts or strollers. They bring their dirty syringes. They call them rigs. They dump them into the hazardous waste bin, and they get plastic bags of sterile needles. Amanda and I sit in my car and talk. It's where we do almost all our interviews. People are going to want to, like, visualize you. So how would you describe yourself physically? Like, what do you look like?
I'm 5'4", about 131 pounds. Bluish gray eyes, curly hair. I'm chubby. I have freckles. I have tattoos. I have my kids' names on my ankles. I have Tinkerbell on my back.
Amanda's hands are studded with rings and bracelets. She loves glittery eyeshadow, and when she's upset, her mouth makes a perfect parentheses frown. She has a persistent sniffle, which is common for heroin users, and sometimes she can be a little hard to understand. I'm drawn to stories of addiction because it runs in my family. And I'm especially interested in the stories of women who are addicted. From the very first time we meet, Amanda tells me she desperately wants to keep the baby growing inside her. I wonder whether a drive as strong as maternal instinct can truly get someone off drugs.
I went to the doctor on Tuesday, I believe it was. That's how I found out. No, I was 19 weeks already. And the OB was a little upset because I was already, you know, she's like, you're already 5 months at least if you could feel the baby, because I feel it all the time. She gave me a referral to get on methadone because they said already if the baby tests positive for heroin, they're going to take it, which I don't want.
Methadone is an opioid prescription that is considered safer than street opiates. It has a longer half-life, so there are fewer ups and downs, and is dispensed in a controlled way, so it's harder for people to abuse it.
And I'm hoping it is a boy. His name's going to be Dyson. Like the vacuum. I like that name.
Amanda has considered adoption, but doesn't feel like she could actually hand over her baby. She never considered abortion because she thinks it's wrong, that God doesn't give you anything you can't handle. And she feels this is part of God's plan, perhaps to get her off drugs. In early November, Amanda is 5 months, 3 weeks pregnant. Her belly is still small. No one would peg her as pregnant. A few blocks from the Needle Exchange is what people call Motel Drive. The people who live here are some of the poorest in the city, but they're paying some of the highest rents, about $50 a night or $1,500 a month. In exchange for that, they don't have to put down a credit card or pay an entire month up front. Some of them are doing what Amanda does, sex work. Some are hustling or drug dealing, and all of them are just trying to make rent for the day.
Where's my gallery? Here, let's go to gallery. Gallery. I love it.
Amanda's sitting on the bed of her motel room, showing me pictures on her cracked smartphone.
See, like, it made me with it.
There are a few burn holes in the blanket. And on the side table, there's a plastic cup with cigarette butts floating in brown water.
Look at that's my baby when she's real, real little. That's my son. Aww. He looks just like me. It blows me away. I'm like, my mom took pictures of me in my car.
Is your mom excited to be a grandma again?
Uh-huh. Yeah, she is, but she isn't.
Amanda has 3 kids already who live with their dads. She still has legal custody of them, but because she's homeless and using drugs, she doesn't feel like she can take care of them now. While she was visiting one day, Amanda says, her 4-year-old daughter rifled through her makeup bag where Amanda had stashed 2 dirty rigs, syringes.
I said, Ava, you did not touch these, okay, baby? They're really sharp. She goes, I already did. It's not sharp. It didn't hurt me. 3 days later, I get a phone call from my baby's dad, cussing me, fucking pissed. And I go, what happened? His mom was watching the baby, and she had a rig in her makeup bag. Her little makeup bag I gave her, because she wanted to be like her mommy, and had one in there. She didn't even know what it was for, but because her mommy had one, and, you know, because I had one in mine. She wanted one in hers. And, like, I guess I had a little bit of heroin residue on it. Like, she could have easily died. You know what I mean? Like,
I believe Amanda desperately wants to mother her unborn child, but she also wants the pregnancy to magically go away. She wants to get off drugs, but she doesn't want to go through the challenges of true change. She wants love from her children, but when they give her pure affection, she feels she's not worthy. Amanda always seems torn between conflicting desires, conflicting needs. Amanda tried meth when she was 14 with her sister and a friend. I talk with Amanda's mother, Janice, about this. Janice's face resembles Amanda's, albeit a bit older and rounder. She tells me about Amanda's teenage years. Janice was going through a divorce and would often leave the girls alone while she was visiting her boyfriend.
I have this picture of Mandy. It breaks my heart. It's a picture they took of her. She's holding this red cup and she's sitting on the couch and she's got this look in her eye like she's a little girl. She's got this lost look in her eyes, like she doesn't want to be there. And every time I look at that picture, I wish I would have just been there for her.
Amanda and her sister used drugs together sporadically when they were teenagers. At age 17, Amanda had her first child. At 18, she got married. At 28, she started using methamphetamine every day. At 29, she started injecting it and working as a prostitute. When Amanda would shoot up meth, she would let other people inject her. It's pretty common for female drug users. According to a doctor I talked to, it's not safe because you can't control your dosage based on how strong it feels. The first time Amanda did heroin, a friend was making the shots, and Amanda didn't realize he mixed heroin with the meth.
I started my addiction literally from the moment I got injected from it. That's all I can remember. Like, I felt really, really good. Like, I was really relaxed, calm. Everything was just like, you know, not a worry in the world.
Do you feel like before that, like, did you normally have a lot of worries or were you more anxious? Or like?
Yeah, I was really stressed out at the time and depressed and stuff because my boyfriend just passed away. Like, literally a month, not even a month before that he passed away, he's gotten a motorcycle accident.
A lot of psychological research correlates trauma with addiction. Amanda's boyfriend had just died, and a family member had sexually abused her during childhood.
Literally, from the moment I'd wake up to the moment I'd go to bed, heroin, I knew I'd have to wake up with money or heroin, or I'd have to, like, if I woke up without money or heroin, I'd have to go work the street to get the money, to get the heroin, to get well. Constantly, heroin has controlled my life from the moment I injected it.
Sex work became the main way that Amanda could afford drugs.
It's what I do to survive, and I enjoy it, so.
Amanda talks about her dates like they're friends. I think she gets affirmation from them that she doesn't find in other places in her life. She's beautiful, she's fun, she deserves care. Amanda started using heroin at least twice a day, and she knew if she didn't get enough, she would get really sick.
It's just really painful all the time. Like, you're throwing up and diarrhea. Like, you can't get off the toilet. You're emotional. Like, you put yourself down. You know, like, you're a worthless piece of shit. Nothing. You know, just, it's really painful. Like, I can't even explain it. Like, if you got beat up, every bone in your body hurts.
It's really hard for people to understand why people who are addicted to drugs can't stop. So, is there anything you can say to help people understand, like, what it's like?
It controls you. The drug controls you. Like, I'm not really good at answering that question because I asked myself that, why couldn't I just stop? So I can't really answer that question. I don't know.
In early December, Amanda is 6.5 months pregnant. She wears a strapless gold dress. She is beginning to get a chubby belly. She tells me she's $15 short on rent and really stressed about it. This is the first time I understand how much Amanda lives day to day. She can't think about tomorrow until she knows she will make rent today. Her mom recently confronted her about whether she was ready to care for a newborn.
And my mom gave me a reality check on my birthday the other day. She said, Mandy, what are you going to do with this baby? And I said, what do you mean? She said, you can't take care of this baby. If you don't pay rent tomorrow, you're on the street. You can't be on the street with the baby. And that's totally true. Like, I don't know what to even do with the baby anymore. I really don't, Rachel. I don't want to lose this baby. I really, really don't want to lose this baby.
Amanda is 7 months pregnant. I'm at the needle exchange, and it's a bright, hot day. I haven't seen Amanda in a few weeks, though she told me she would show up today. I wait an hour, 2 hours, three. Then a few minutes before the needle exchange closes, Amanda shows up with a bag of about 100 dirty syringes. She collects these from other users, then exchanges them for clean ones, which she sells. They're only worth a few dollars, but that money can help her afford rent. Why don't you tell me about your week?
My week was pretty crappy. I didn't accomplish anything I was supposed to. I had a doctor's appointment yesterday. I was just to ultrasound to see what the baby looks like, and I missed it because I was arguing with Twin.
Twin is Amanda's boyfriend. They fight often, and Amanda says Twin berates her and hits her.
You said he started hitting you again?
Yeah. He's just, like, not like beating the shit out of me like he would, but he like smacked me, or like I was on the toilet, he ran in there and smacked me in my head. Like that was not called for. And I'm like, you're scaring the baby. How the fuck am I scaring the baby? Because I get scared and she goes up in my ribs, because you know, that's not fair for her.
Six months ago, Twin was in jail for battery against Amanda. She says that he spit in her face in public and someone called the cops. While Twin was away, Amanda started spending more time with one of her dates, named Frank. He was always sweet to her, called her beautiful. They started having what Amanda calls an affair. Frank owns his own construction company and is married. She's still in contact with him sporadically. She shows me tons of photos they took together. Him jumping off a dock into water, them making silly faces at the camera.
I got pregnant on May 2nd. That's the day Twin got out of jail. So I don't know if it's Twin's or if I don't know if it's Frank's. And Twin doesn't know that there's a chance that it could be Frank's. Twin's like, thinks he's the dad no matter what. So that's a really stressful situation too. But I'm like more like 75%, 25% I guess, that it's Frank's, because me and Frank were like every day, you know. I don't know what I'm going to do when the baby comes out, because Twin's black and the other guy's not.
Amanda still hasn't started methadone treatment. It seems like small things constantly get in the way. She asks me if I'll take her to the clinic to make sure she actually does it. This isn't something a journalist would normally do, but I feel compelled to help Amanda because the life of the baby could be in danger. The clinic has a checkered black and white floor, a twiggy Christmas tree, and a receptionist sitting behind a glass window. When Amanda finally gets called, they give her a cherry-flavored liquid that she drinks in front of them. They start her at a low dose and will slowly increase it. Because methadone is an opioid, she will have to come to the clinic every day to dose. I've talked to a lot of people in my life about Amanda, Twin, and Amanda's mother, Janice. A friend of mine called Amanda shitty for continuing to use drugs that could hurt her child. Another called Twin a terrible person for hitting Amanda. Someone said it's messed up that Janice doesn't take enough responsibility for her daughter's addiction. I've really struggled to see all of their complexities. Amanda is having trouble being there for any of her kids, but she cherishes her time with them. Amanda's mother regrets her alcoholism and the damage it did to her children. Twin is one of the few people who is there for Amanda day to day and who protects her on the street. They all both care for and hurt the people in their lives. Amanda, Twin, and Janice are fundamentally flawed, but each of them readily admits to it. Almost everyone I met during this project could quickly list someone they considered worse off. The meth users think heroin addicts are the lowest. The heroin users say at least they're not prostitutes. And the prostitutes say at least they're not blowing people for $2 a pop like the truly desperate. It seems like there's something fundamentally human about reveling in downward comparisons. I may have flaws, but at least I'm not that. In mid-December, Amanda is 7.5 months pregnant. Amanda doesn't show up at the needle exchange, even though we'd talked about meeting. I go to her motel room to see if she's around. Twin lets me in. He and a friend are watching TV. Amanda calls me into the bathroom so we can talk alone. She dumps her purse onto the ground. She's looking for any bits of heroin she might have forgotten about. She's noticeably loopy from her methadone dose that morning.
Look how cool this fucking pin is. I'm easily amazed. Oh, it's a ruler, a leveler, and a screwdriver.
She's talking about using the tool for scratch-off lottery tickets.
I have two scratches. Those could be million-dollar winners right now, and we're just sitting here. And this is the one I always do. I always do this one.
What's it called?
Mega Crossword. And then this one's a bingo. I've played 9 cards. It's a new fucking lottery ticket. Usually the new ones, you win a lot. I've played 9 and haven't won once. But I have all of them to scan because I have a feeling. You know what I mean? There's no fucking way. That I haven't won, you know what I mean?
Amanda tells me she's $20 short on rent and it's due in a half an hour. She tries to get in touch with each of her regulars to see if they'll spot her the money.
Where are you at right now? Oh, you are? Oh, nothing. I'm trying to get this $30 more for rent for at the motel. Yeah. Over on Parkway, the Welcome Inn. I'm paying every day.
Amanda and Twin lose their motel room, then move to another one. Amanda is really grateful to have a car because she can stay in it if she needs to. The next week, Amanda is 7 months, 3 weeks pregnant. She's not answering my calls or texts, but then I run into Twin at the needle exchange. He tells me Amanda stayed home because she's been bleeding. We go back to their motel room. Amanda says Twin has been taking care of her.
I've been making sure she eats. I've been making, you know, I know. There's one thing I'm going to get her today, though. That she's, man, she already, she knows.
What are you going to get her?
She know what I'm going to get her. Strawberry shortcake. I could have got it the other day, but I was sure it's $2.99, man.
Amanda's under the covers. She's getting more and more worried about her body and the baby.
Like, there could be something fucking horribly wrong with my baby right now, and I'm so scared to go to the hospital because I, you know what I mean, I'll have drugs in my system. I don't want them to take her because of that. But I don't want her to die or something, you know what I mean? I shouldn't be bleeding right now. At all. My shit's red, like, period.
Amanda's really scared of going to the doctor because she doesn't want them to induce labor. She knows the baby will test positive for drugs. Then Child Protective Services, or CPS, can take the baby. I'm really worried about both of them and frustrated that Amanda isn't going to the doctor. After I go home, I talk to a couple of doctors who tell me Amanda could have preeclampsia. It's a disorder marked by high blood pressure. It could threaten the life of the baby and mother. I ask Amanda if she will go to the doctor if I drive her there. She texts yes. The next morning, we go to her OBGYN. I sit in the examination room with Amanda and bring up preeclampsia, but the doctor says it looks like everything is stable. She tells Amanda the bleeding is likely the placenta separating from the uterus. It's something they'll need to watch, but not life-threatening on its own. She tells Amanda to start coming in twice a week for fetal monitoring. I don't know how Amanda will make the extra biweekly appointments if she can't even go to the regular ones. Amanda is 8 months, 1 week pregnant. She's still dosing on methadone, but is also continuing to do some heroin. Amanda calls it black. She's lost some weight in the past few weeks. Amanda tells me what it feels like in her belly when she uses.
It's so crazy, like if I miss a dose, I don't feel it that much. And then when I do dose, or if I do a shot of black, she's like, whoa, like crazy moving. Like, it's sad, but it's true. Like, she has to have it. Like, you could tell it makes her feel better.
Throughout the pregnancy, Amanda and Twin talk about the baby needing heroin. And in a way, it's true. At this point, the biggest risk to the fetus is not heroin itself, but heroin withdrawal. Among other risks, the baby could be born premature or even die. Amanda is 8.5 months pregnant. She's having contractions, and she and Twin are at the hospital. I drive up to meet them. The hospital room has a reclined bed and a row of unintelligibly beeping machines. A wall of windows looks out onto a dark city. Twin and a friend are here, sitting in chairs at the edge of the room. Amanda is on her bed, and she cries out when she has contractions. The nurses come in and out to check on her. An hour later, Amanda's birth is progressing as normal, though she's in the high-risk wing of the pregnancy ward. The doctors and nurses are kind to her. Soon, her contractions get closer together. I'm nervous because I've never seen a birth.
Bring your leg.
That baby's right there. Right here.
Push. Good job.
I can't pull her off, please,
hurts.
Push.
Push.
Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push.
Push. Push. Push. Push.
Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push.
Push. Push. Push. Push.
Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push.
Push. Push. Push. Push.
Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push.
Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push.
Push. Push. Push. Push. Push.
Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push.
Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push.
Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push.
Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push.
Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push.
Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push.
Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Push. Amanda tells me she's pretty sure that Twin is not the father.
I'm just going to go with the flow because I feel so bad, Rachel. I really do. Because not necessarily that he's, just because how happy he is, you know what I mean? Like, and he's totally, he's the dad, like he's, and he does have aunts and shit that are like my skin color, but she doesn't look nothing.
Macy is 3 days old. She's staying in the NICU, neonatal intensive care unit, and being watched for symptoms of withdrawal. She mostly sleeps in a clear plastic bin swaddled in a striped blanket. On her head, she wears a pink bow. It's heartbreaking to visit her in the unit. For much of the time, Macy isn't being held or cared for. I'm surprised Amanda isn't with her as often as she could be. I wonder if she just wants a break after a long, difficult pregnancy. Amanda has been off of her methadone since she's been in the hospital. Twin brings her in some black and meth, which she does in the bathroom when the nurse isn't around. A social worker visits her and tells her that CPS is opening a case, and she won't be able to take Macy home with her. She's devastated, but figures she might be able to take Macy into a rehab program if she goes directly there. She Googles rehab centers on the hospital TV monitor. She calls each one to see if she can enter a program with a baby.
Hi, my name's Amanda. I'm looking into getting into the program with my newborn baby. Who do I need to speak with? They're opening one. Okay.
And she gets some even worse news.
For emergency response for social services, for CPS. And what we do is we investigate possible neglect allegations. And so that's what came in today.
That's a social worker from CPS. She has dark, shiny hair and sits in a chair across from Amanda, leaning towards her. She's here because Amanda admitted to her doctor she was using drugs. Amanda's voice trembles as she tells the social worker that this time she's really ready to go into rehab and change her life. The social worker nods like she's heard all this before.
And they know we're going to go ahead and get information about Dad and any other support system that you might have. So I scheduled us for a meeting on Monday at 1:30 so we could set up all your services.
Amanda will have a meeting with the social workers in a couple days. Her boyfriend, her mother, her sister, and I will be there. Macy has started having symptoms of withdrawal from opiates. She's had the shakes and has been spitting up. She will have to stay in the hospital for a few days while the doctors start her methadone treatment. At 4 days old, she gets discharged and goes home with a foster family who learns how to keep giving Macy methadone. CPS is concerned about Amanda's drug use and her lack of stable housing. They order her to go to family court, where Macy is placed in the care of Amanda's cousin, Haley. Twin requests a DNA test so he can have rights to Macy. Macy is 2.5 weeks old. I pick Amanda up at a fast food restaurant, and we drive to her new motel room. There's a slight smell of cigarettes. We sit by the window, which looks out onto the back parking lot. Light streams in through the polyester curtains.
Okay, so tell me about the last week where you were staying and stuff.
In the car for like four or five nights. I made myself comfortable, but it wasn't like, you know, a bed. My feet were really swollen still from having the baby. Plus, I'm bleeding still, so it's like, that's another, you know, thing I have to do to make sure I'm not all messy or, you know what I mean, make a mess and stuff like that in the car, and it's in and out, which makes you more colder. And then I don't have the back windshield, so we'd turn on the heater, but the heat would go out right away, so it was just hectic.
After you had Macy, did you have your milk come in?
Yeah.
So what
did that... It took about maybe 5 days, I think. It was, like, pouring, and they were just really, really painful. I just wore 2 bras for 3 days. It was just sad not... You know, it's something I had dealt with being a mother.
I miss her so much.
Amanda goes into the bathroom and starts making a shot. The sink is lined with toiletries, mousse and body spray and toothpaste. In every motel she stays in, she lines these up on the sink. There's a backpack on the floor that she rummages through for supplies. She tells me I'm an incredibly solid person in her life, that if she's killed someone or gotten into real trouble, I would be the first person she would call.
Have you ever seen someone do this?
Yeah, I've seen you do it.
Oh, I'm so glad to be the... This black is like really hard to melt. I don't know why. I had to grab another rig. Is there one in here? Oh yeah, there is. See how bad I'm shaking?
Amanda has stuck the needle into her vein. She's waiting for a bit of blood to fill it up so she knows she's inserted it into the right place.
I can't tell if it's good enough or not. It's filling up, but really slow.
If the vein is good enough?
If it's in good enough, because it's filling up but with blood, but it's not filling up. See, now it's fast enough. I'm starting to see. God dang, it hurts. And I'm shaking really bad.
Amanda's been calling to get into an inpatient rehab program.
Applying to the Rescue the Children Transforming Life community is a three-step process. The first step is a telephone interview. If you would like to begin the application process or would like more information about Rescue the Children, please dial extension 109 for program support of Alicia Varela. And the tone.
Hi, my name's Amanda. I'm interested in getting into your program. If you can give me a call back, it's 899-5314. Thank you. Have a good day. Okay.
Macy is 7 weeks old. Amanda is planning to visit her today for the first time since she left the hospital. She tells me I can interview her, but then doesn't return my phone calls. I know where she's staying, so I show up to her room with breakfast from McDonald's. She doesn't seem surprised to see me. Twin is under the covers with a hurt back. The heater and the TV are on full blast. Amanda hasn't had any heroin today and wants to use before she sees Macy. She goes to get some heroin from the dealer and comes back.
I definitely don't want to go sick to see Macy, you know what I mean? Because it's like, everything's horrible. Like, I won't enjoy my visit with her. I won't, nothing. As sad as it is, I won't be happy. I won't. Like, not because, I mean, I'll be happy, you know, to see her, stuff like that, but everything else, like, it's like my bones and stuff hurt.
Amanda shoots up. Then Twin, Amanda, and I drive to their supervised visit. It's in a CPS office. It's styled to look like a living room with a couch and toys. The social worker sits in a chair to supervise. Afterwards, I talk to Amanda about what the visit was like.
How did she look?
She has a double chin. She has fat cheeks. She looks like me. She has red hair and blue eyes.
And what did you do with Macy?
Held her and fed her and changed her poopy diaper. She pooped.
And what was that like?
was. It's okay. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know. It was awesome. Yeah, it went by really fast. She got really sad. Like, she started crying, throwing a fit, like, crying, whatever. Because she's used to Haley and not me.
Through a mix of bureaucracy and Amanda's disorganization, her rehab has been delayed. Amanda tells me she has 6 months to demonstrate changes, or her cousin Haley can permanently adopt Macy. I first met Amanda 5.5 months ago, and by now, despite her not being able to quit drugs yet, I still feel hopeful about her future. I feel sure she will enter a program. But maybe that's just naive optimism. Now, as we sit in her motel room, I wonder if this will be the last time I'll see Amanda. But then again, every time I see her, I wonder that.
I just feel like it's possible I won't see you again. Because, I'm going to be working a lot on this project, and then, I don't know, you've been impossible to get in touch with. I'm not blaming you. Like, your life is really complicated right now.
It's horrible.
And it's like, I'm sort of the last thing that you probably want to deal with. Is that...
It's like I don't want to call and give you more bad news. You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah. I'm not really supposed to care about you. You know, you're supposed to be, I hate crying. I don't know, you're supposed to be just a subject, someone who I'm interviewing, but I do, I care a lot about you. And it's amazing that I got to be with you, like, when you were giving birth, and that was, I've never seen that. That was crazy. but I don't know, I just wanted to say that. Yeah, and, you know...
We weren't supposed to establish a friendship, I don't think. Or anything. Crazy.